What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Their experts treat athletes of all levels. Elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com.
Here is Larry Bluestein.
Yes, sir. Welcome to another week, and we appreciate that you are listening to us up until 8 o'clock this evening. Trevor Harrison and myself will take you on a pretty decent ride over the next 2 hours, and glad you could be with us. It is officially the start of the 2025 college football season, although my UNLV Running Rebels won the other day in terrible fashion. Danny Mullen makes his debut, and I'll tell you what, you talk about no defense. Holy Christmas. Idaho State had like 555 yards. And also, kudos to Hawaii for beating an ACC team in Stanford when most of you were sleeping. And but, yeah, we started that week zero stuff last week, but this is week one. And it is promising to be a really, really active season where who the heck knows who's going to be the 12 teams that are going to make the college playoffs this year. I know that a lot of the programs in, around the country believe it's them. I know two teams in the state of Florida, the Florida Gators and the Miami Hurricanes, are hoping that they can punch their ticket this year. But we'll start out this Sunday evening. You'll hear everything right here on 104.3 when the Miami Hurricanes play host to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the defending national runner-up, and so on and so on. But you know what? That's kind of a small portion of what South Florida football will look like on week one, because on Friday evening over at Pitt Bull Stadium, FIU will play host as the Willie Simmons era gets underway, with FIU playing against Bethune-Cookman. And then on Saturday, Trevor and I were just talking about this. How could the Hard Rock let, or the Hurricanes, especially when you have a mammoth game, have a game on 4 o'clock, the Orange Blossom Classic, Howard and FAMU? Nothing against them, obviously, but wow. Especially when all eyes of the college football world will be on Miami Gardens on Sunday evening. No other games, nothing else going on. Sunday baseball. Other than that, I mean, you are the main show. You are the main entree. And but the grounds crew are great, and I've seen it turn around. But wow, kind of cutting a little bit close. And but that kind of kicks off college football. FSU at Alabama on Saturday. We don't know. I mean, we know Alabama's good. We know FSU was 2-12 or whatever they were, 2-10. But in this day and age of the portal, and you have so many new faces, because they always say 1, 2, 3, you know, players may not make a difference, but 8, 9, look at Miami's entire secondary, FSU revamped, everybody's doing it. So you really don't, I don't really have an honest, I mean, as a fan, as a Hurricane fan, I guess you would say, hey, you know, home crowd, craziness, Notre Dame draws pretty well too. Don't think for a second there's not going to be a whole lot of blue and gold or green and gold or whatever the heck they're going to wear this time around. But you got the home field advantage. You got a quarterback that really hasn't taken a significant snap in a while. There's so many questions to be answered. So, I mean, as a fan, oh yeah, Miami's winning. They got everything. You remember 5 years ago when Notre Dame came here and we blew them away and it was great. It was one of the best atmospheres ever. And I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be great, but how can you honestly say as a fan or even a football purist that you know what the outcome of that game is going to be? There's just way too many moving parts that have to happen and that are new to the programs. We don't have anything to go on. So, I mean, like I said, as a fan, yeah, I understand. Okay. But as a realistic football person, you just sit there and say, you know, I don't have a clue. Alex Dono, who does the post game right here on 104.3 WQAM, and I were talking today about it, and you won't find a more ardent fan, Hurricane fan, than Alex. And, you know, he's a graduate, but even he was kind of like up in the air. I mean, sure, you look at all the positives that can happen. But anyway, high school football. And I know a lot of you are tuned in for that and some of the things that we talk about. But, you know, we're a show of many hats. We cover everything. And, you know, we check in with all our college football reporters around the state throughout the course of the year, finding out how our kids are doing, how the kids are doing just in general. Because, you know, we have a big following, Florida Gator following here in South Florida. We have a huge FSU following. So it's not just, you know, Miami. But the high schools got underway last week, and wow. Okay, that's all I can say is wow. You know, the finger pointing has started already, how the coaches are unpaid, so that means the athletes are not as good, and the, you know, how that is. We went statewide 1-11 against outside the state opponents. But let's look at it. The ones that we had here in the Broward Showcase, I mean, let's start from the top with Matter Day, number one team in the country, probably one of the best high school teams over the last decade, came down to play in the showcase, and they got off to a big start. But kudos to St. Thomas Aquinas. They made that darn thing a game and took it right down to the end and lost 26-23. So whether you're underpaid or not or whatever, that was still a great game against a major opponent. I mean, every time they talked about somebody on that team, they were going somewhere. USC, Notre Dame, somewhere. Ohio State. And then you had St. Francis Academy play against Chaminade Mandan. And we kind of knew going in at Chaminade, you know, smaller school, great team, great program, 1A dominant, been to state 8 years in a row, probably going to go for the ninth. But they were up against, you know, a team that was just, you know, what can I say? They were huge. Huge, well-coached, and a lot of talent. I know 2 years ago they beat them, but this was a different, as they say, animal. This time around, St. Thomas Chaminade they just couldn't match up with them. Then you had Corner Canyon of Utah, which has won state, 3 years in a row, 6 out of the last 8, loaded with talent. Jackson Dart's brother plays on the team, and he's just a great talent. Doesn't play quarterback, plays everything else, though. And Zach Wilson played there, and they're well-coached, and they've got a lot of kids. And, you know, they just were a better team than West Broward. Although West Broward didn't, you know, they didn't go away without a fight. They started kicking. They scored some points on them, but, yeah. And then you had probably the most exciting of exciting games on Saturday, on Friday evening on ESPN2, where American Heritage Plantation got down 28-0 to Trevor Harris's Philadelphia team, St. Joseph's, 28-0. And they came back and won the game 31-28 on a field goal with basically no time left. And then, you know, you had the other games that went on. Jacksonville Bulls came down from up north and beat Monarch. And, you know, you had Peachtree Ridge of Georgia that came down. So as far as that's concerned, and then, oh, I forgot, Miami Northwestern, the team that I said it was 14 points better than anybody. I still feel that way, better than anybody in the state. Lost to Orange Lutheran of California, another one of the Trinity League teams, was St. John Bosco, who came down. They didn't come all the way down, but they went to Bradenton and beat Manatee. So, okay, you know, so we surrender that chest pounding, we are the best in the country, but I still feel that you look at games like St. Thomas and you look at games like the Northwestern game where it came right down to the wire, and you look at the game with American Heritage, and we're still there. We're still there. You know, don't fret. You know, we're gonna be there. We're gonna have our talented teams, and we're gonna have our great players, and we're gonna have everything else that goes along with it. And you got the best college football player in the country who comes from right here, and Jeremiah Smith, and oh, so on and on and on and on. So you could, you know, you pick things apart if you want, and that's fine. You know, I mean, if you're so inclined to cut everything down that happens negatively, then so be it. And that's the type of person you'll be. I just don't happen to be that way. You know, I see too many of our players throughout the state, especially here in South Florida. I watch the talent move on to college. I see them in the NFL every Sunday, every Thursday after evening, and Monday night. So, you know, I'm not going to be the negative guy. You know, I mean, a lot of football to be played. Christopher Columbus, and that's another story. Poor Columbus and South Ridge. They started their game on Thursday of last week. It was lightning doubt. They convened on Saturday morning and fought through three lightning delays to get to 3 minutes before halftime. And then today they resumed it, and they have gone through three more delays, with Columbus leading 14-7 in the third quarter. So technically it's an official game, but wow, you know? And to top it off is South Ridge, I believe, plays Thursday, and Columbus leaves on Thursday for Maryland to play Lady of Our Good Counsel. So, huh? But these kids, you know, like they always say, these kids are 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, so they're young. I mean, they're resilient. But we still have, like I said, some great football to be played and a lot of talent. I mean, this weekend, believe it or not, Miami Central hasn't even played a game yet. They didn't play their classic, their kickoff classic, because they were in Ocala and got lightninged out. And, you know, and it's funny because I'm on the sideline of the Corner Canyon, Utah game against West Broward, and talking to the people from Utah. And they don't realize that, you know, when we had these weather delays, this is the norm. This is Florida. This is South Florida. This is the lightning strike capital of the world, not just locally or in the state or the region, but so this is what we go through. They don't have that. But as I told their principal, you do have 4, 5, 6, 7 inches of snow from November until May, and we don't. So, yeah, we have hurricane season. We have crazy weather. But at the end of the day, it's all football. You know, it's all about football. You know, that's, and we're still going to have a great season ahead. As I said, every week there's going to be some really good games, and we'll have some great guests for you. Speaking about that, tonight we have a really good show. The aforementioned American Heritage Plantation one of the big stars in that game, obviously Diabelle going to Texas, the quarterback, but senior Jamar Denson with their other wide receiver, Brandon Bennett, who's going to FSU, out for the game. It was the Jamar Denson show. And I'll tell you what, he put on a show, national TV. He's going to join us around 7:35. We'll talk about this, the season, and he's committed to Troy. And after that game, especially against some national exposure, you know, that could change, but at least he knows that he has some place to go. At 7:25, we go up into Palm Beach County. Now that our signal's so darn strong and we get up into the Treasure Coast, we have a lot of Palm Beach listeners, and they've made it their point to let us know. We'll have Coach Dylan Potts, the head coach from West Boca Raton, on about 7:25. We'll talk a little bit about his state championship last year. This is their first game. They didn't play on the first week of the season. At 7:05, we will talk the University of Miami and Notre Dame, Gabby Arudia from Inside the U and 247 Sports. We'll talk to him about 7:05. As I mentioned before, FSU opens up against Alabama on Saturday at the newly refurbished Doak Campbell Stadium, Bobby Bowden Field. Liam Rooney will join us. He covers FSU for the Tallahassee Democrat. We'll talk to him about that. First week of the high school football season in the books. Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football will join us. We'll kind of rehash some of the things that went on. And in just a few minutes, I told you about the big weekend, Orange Blossom Classic, the FIU Bethune-Cookman game. Kendra Bullock will join us to talk a little bit about that. And so, big show for you. Glad you could be with us. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, great sponsor of ours throughout the course of the year. You know, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk a little bit about the Orange Blossom Classic on Saturday and also take a look at the FIU Bethune-Cookman game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app, sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, we take you up until 8 o'clock. Glad you could be with us on 104.3 FM. We're going to get our new branding done any minute now, or any... so we still are on 560 WQAM. So that's just for you nostalgia fans as we have our rejoins and at the top of the hour IDs, we are still on 560 WQAM, but we want you to kind of gravitate towards 104.3 FM on your Mondays and every day just to listen to. It's a great product. I mean, you know, as far as what it sounds like and listen to all the shows. as I said, big weekend in football, college football down here. Things kicking off on Friday, FIU, Bethune-Cookman. And then Saturday, the Orange Blossom Classic, Howard and Florida A&M, as those two games kind of usher in Miami and Notre Dame. This Orange Blossom Classic is great. I mean, they have everything that goes along with it. A lot of fan fest activities, live performances. They have everything. And it's geared, obviously, to highlight the HBCU programs, which they've done so well in the past and this year. They've done a tremendous job in promoting the game and certainly have a lot of local interest in this contest. Kendra Bullock Major has done a tremendous job with this. I mean, she just works tirelessly around the clock, around the calendar year to promote an event such as this. And she's kind enough to join us this evening. Kendra, thanks so much for taking the time. And you're just right around the corner from something that you've worked so darn hard on over the last year.
Yes, yes, we are right around the corner, 5 days away, and I am extremely excited about this entire weekend of football in South Florida. So it's going to be a big, big weekend for us.
You added a new little thing with the Friday night game with FIU and Bethune-Cookman to kind of put together with this package. Talk about that.
Oh, yes. So, you know, Larry, there is so much synergies between these two games. Of course, you know, like you mentioned, Saturday we have Howard versus FAMU. Anyone who is familiar or who follows Florida A&M University football, you know, back in 2023, they were the national champions. They were victorious in the Celebration Bowl over Howard University. So this game on Saturday is a kind of a rematch of what the 2023 national championship looked like. And yeah, of course, the gentleman who brought FAM that national championship after 50 years is Coach Willie Simmons. Now, of course, this year he is making his debut as the head football coach of Florida International University. And ironically, their season will kick off with Bethune-Cookman University, who is no stranger to FAMU. And as they're one of their, you know, biggest yeah, rivalries in HBCU football. So to have Coach Simmons and you know, Coach Woody back together again, kicking off the season, we couldn't miss an opportunity to, of course, partner on some events. So we will, on Friday, we will be down at FIU for a tailgate and fan fest, welcoming our Cookman fans and celebrating his debut at FIU. And then on Saturday, they will come over to us. We will celebrate, of course, the rematch of the national championship, and we'll recognize Coach Simmons for the championship that he brought FAMU. So we'll bring together FAMU fans, FIU fans, as well as our Cookman fans and Howard yeah, fans. Yeah. So it's going to be two big games, three great coaches, four great coaches, and one great weekend.
Yeah, and then the coaches all have Florida ties. Obviously, Willie was a tremendous quarterback at Quincy Shanks before going on to Clemson. And obviously, down here, we know Coach Colsey, a Miami mm-hmm, guy, Miami bred. Everybody knows him. And then Coach Scott, whose brother played at Miami, LeVar Scott, head coach at Sebring. They played at Sebring. So obviously, there's so much of Florida in this game. So that's a great tie too. And you look at the rosters too, Kendra, and all four teams are loaded with players who kind of hone their craft, as they say, here in the state of Florida. And that's a big time thing. A lot of entertainment mm-hmm, too. You have some entertainment. Talk about that, because I know the fans, you know, that are going to tailgate, and they love to have those little, you know, those live performances. Talk about that as well.
Yes. So, you know, a football classic is, you know, what is a football classic without entertainment? Of course, we've got the bands, a big halftime show between Howard University Showtime Band. And of course, we have everybody. If you don't know anything about HBCU football, chances are you've heard of the Marching 100. So we've got our big halftime show. But before that, we do have our official fan fest. Game time is at 4:00, but we're going to kick off our fan fest at 1 p.m. And we will will have, again, someone who's no stranger to South Florida football, believe it or not, Major Nine, who is now an entertainer and hip-hop artist, but he actually played football here in South Florida. So
yes,
I think he graduated from Carroll City. So that's going to be fun. And then, of course, we have Miami owns Ball Greasy that'll be performing live on our FanFest stage. So we're just making this whole thing about Miami 305. We're celebrating, our artists and our entertainers. We're celebrating, like you said, these amazing athletes. You know, they're even with the University of Miami on Sunday. You know, we've got Howard's running back right now is their Edrin James, who is the son of Edrin James, right? So we've got Thad Franklin, who is, of course, you know, no stranger to Miami. So it is just loaded with all kind of Miami talent from on the field to off the field, from the entertainment side to the gridiron. It's going to be a great weekend to celebrate everything that Miami has to offer from football and entertainment.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, you know, speaking about Edrin James, I had an opportunity to watch him in high school at Treasure Coast up in Port St. Lucie. And I remember when he made his decision, because this is a kid that could play anywhere. He really could have. And I think that Edrin made the decision.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, with all of his kids, that he wanted them to get some of their culture and learn about HBCU, because if they're going to play at the next level, they're going to play at the next level. But while you're doing it, why not? Why not go to an institution like Howard? Why not go to FAMU? Yeah. Why not go to some of these schools like that? That you know, not only give you a great education and give you a great athletic chance, but it also gives you a lot of history. And you know, I was at FAMU a couple of years ago when they held a state championship there that one year, and I had been there before, but I was blown away by the campus. I really was. I hadn't been there in like 12, 15 years. And I know a lot of people that went to pharmacy school there and a lot of people that, you know, that had been there, but they had never taken the time. And I got there early a couple of days, Kendra, and I rode around and I really was. I was blown away how beautiful the campus was and how historic a lot of the buildings were. So yeah, that's, it's going to be a great time. And certainly, you know, you've always worked extremely hard on it. Let everybody know how they get involved. How do they get tickets to the FanFest? How do they get tickets to the games?
So FanFest is free. As long as you have a game ticket, you can get your game tickets by going to orangeblossomclassic.com, clicking on the tickets tab of our website, and it will take you directly to the Ticketmaster ticket link. And then, of course, you can follow us on all of our social media channels at Orange Blossom FC, and that will give you all of the information you need to know about everything that's going on for the weekend.
No doubt. Great weekend coming up, 7 o'clock on Friday, FIU and Bethune-Cookman. And then on Saturday, 4 o'clock, Orange Blossom Classic, Howard and Florida A&M. Kendra Bullock, I can't thank you enough. As always, we look forward to great results and having you on again next year.
Yes. Thank you, Larry, as always, for having me. And I look forward to seeing you sometime over the weekend as well.
Yep, we will. And I appreciate it. Thinking best of luck with the weather. Okay. That's all I can say.
Yes.
Because we have gotten off to a rocky start down here in high schools over the last couple of days. But certainly that the gods above or the HBCU gods will be on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, we're just saying we're going to get all of this out of the way early in the week. So we'll be good. We'll be good by then.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Good stuff. Executive Director Kendra Bullock Major from the Orange Blossom Classic. Get out there. You know what? What a great weekend. And like I said, I mean, Thursday, Friday, FIU and Bethune, Saturday, Howard and FAMU, and then Sunday is the big one at Hard Rock. To Miami and Notre Dame, 7:30, nationally televised game. Well, heck of a way to kick off the Labor Day weekend. As I mentioned, we are done with week one in high school football. Or maybe not. I mean, there's things going on right now. There's a couple of games tonight, but still. It was a different weekend. As we opened in our first segment talking about how everybody pointing fingers at how, you know, we were 1-11 against the out-of-state teams and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, I don't, you know, to me that doesn't hold water with me. I understand and I agree that the high school coaches are way underpaid, but, you know, let's be realistic. You know, a lot of those games are really competitive as well. Somebody who sat in that catbird seat and watched it all, as he does every year, from FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com, Josh Wilson. He is kind enough to join us this evening. Josh, what a week, and we're still going. I don't know if you heard that they're in the 214th lightning delay between Columbus and Southridge today.
Goodness gracious almighty. Yeah, first, thanks for having me on, Blue. But I mean, it is literally like, it's just looking at this is like Mother Nature. It's like, oh, I saw Quarter Canyon tweet, you know, the, you know, during Friday, and it's like, oh, we're in the lightning delay. I'm like, hi, welcome to Florida. This is our normal for the first 6-7 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I told them. I said, you know what, this is, you know, we're kind of numb to this. This is something that we kind of, you know, have to dance around. And certainly that's why we have, you know, all these days to play it and all the way extend to Monday. But imagine being in Columbus's shoes where you have to turn around and leave Thursday for Maryland, or Southridge where you have to play Thursday. So, yeah, you know what? The kids are resilient, though, Josh. But at the same time, kind of a really shake-up-y type of weekend, because you had Venice, a team that everybody felt that was kind of a shoo-in to go into this week's game against Miami Northwestern undefeated, against Northwestern, who got beat as well by another Trinity League California team. And along the way, a lot of other surprises that shake up the top 10 to top 15 teams. But an exciting weekend, or exciting week, in week number one.
It was an exciting week. I mean, I think when we look back on it, it's like, okay, well, you know, yeah, okay, 1-11, and it gets those games in the national games. But you know what? Really, at the end of the day, what is that going to make Florida? It's going to make Florida better in the end. I mean, okay, I mean, look at American Heritage right now. Okay, obviously we know that, hey, American Heritage probably maybe is the one team right this second that we can say, hey, did they have a chance to compete for a national title? I would say yes at this particular conjecture, because they fought, and I like how they fought in that game. It's like, hey, you're backed against the wall, but no, you came back and fought. I mean, again, I get it. And I give Qantas credit for fighting against Matter Day like that. I mean, that was a fight right there too. But I mean, again, you know, at the end of the day, that would have, if they had won that game, that would have been a huge upset in a lot of different ways. And that would have given them, propelled them. But I know at the end of the day, okay, yeah, we may lose these games like that, but you know what, at the end of the day, does that make Florida football any less? No, because right, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that we're going to see these teams climb back to the top up as the season progresses, because again, football is played on the field and it's a game of inches. And at the end of the day, these teams are going to come out and they're going to fight very hard. And I, some people are going to say, oh, it's South Florida football down or something like that. And it's going to happen. This is why these teams play these games. This is why they do that. It's not because, oh, well, we need to win every single game. It's how can you challenge yourself in week one so that when week 17 rolls around to the state championship, you're playing for that state championship.
Right. And I mean, you take a look at St. Thomas Aquinas. They played arguably the best team in high school football over the last decade and took them right down to the wire and lost 26-23. And that shows you that, hey, okay, so they lost, but it was close. And I don't think anybody really can grasp how good Mater Dei is. I mean, they're a machine. I mean, year in and year out. And then you take a look at American Heritage, as you said, they were down 28-0. They come all the way back, tie it, and then win it with a field goal over a really good St. Joseph team from Philadelphia. So, you know, and even Miami Northwestern. I mean, they're playing an Orange Lutheran team that's part of that Trinity League team in California. And you know, last week we had Coach Raul Laura on from Mater Dei. He even told me, he says, let me tell you something. They're in our league. They're pretty good. I mean, you know, they're not just going to come down and lay down against anybody. And he was right. And they didn't. And, you know, you have programs like Orlando Jones, who everybody says, hey, listen, they're a shoo-in. They came through. I think that they're one of those teams that are going to be up top. I don't think that they lose. The only game they probably have a chance would be Edgewater, but that's a really, really good team. You know, they had a great win over Winter Park. Then you take a look at teams like Chaminade Madonna. I mean, they were outclassed. What are you going to say? There was a bigger school, a bigger team, you know, loaded with talent. Not to say Chaminade's not, not to say that they won't go to their ninth consecutive state title in December. But you know what? Like you said, if you don't play them, Josh, you get criticized. Okay, so when you play them,
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. If you don't play them, you get criticized. And but I also say this: if you don't, you know, for every team in the state, you know that, you know, people are expecting, you know, oh well, you're going to make the playoffs and stuff. And I say this: if you're going to make the playoffs, you've got to be one. You've got to be able to play a string of schedule that actually is going to be that's going to be competitive. Because if you're if you're expecting to make a playoff, you're expecting to make the playoffs on a cupcake schedule. Good luck. You will get your butt blown out in the first round. I can point to Tampa Jefferson as a good example last year. It wasn't the first round, but it came in the second round. They got shown the door real quick, like, because that strength of schedule ended up coming back to bite them in that second round.
Right. And they were undefeated in the regular season. And you're right. And that happened with a Cub. And it usually happens with Winter Park. You know, I mean, they'll finish 10-1, 9-1, or 10-0. And then they'll, in the first round, they'll lose because they didn't play that tougher schedule. And also, you know, the teams, you know, like St. Thomas and Chaminade and, you know, Northwestern and Central, and other programs around the state, they figured it out that if you don't play those competitive schedules at the end of the year, no matter if you're undefeated or not, you won't be ranked high. Because there's other teams like, you know, Mater Dei, and there's teams like Bishop Gorman and a lot of the other programs around the country who are playing that tough schedule. And you can't penalize them for being 9-2 at the end of the season, but those two losses coming to teams within the top five. So, yeah, 100%. Talk about some of the other things you expect this year. Obviously, you know, we talk about Chaminade in 1A. 2A, I think right now, if I had to guess, I think it's Jacksonville Bulls and Cardinal Mooney. I saw Bulls last week. I thought they were the best team that I saw last week. I mean, they're put together. Cardinal Mooney is real good. I know Coco's still in the mix as well. 3A, you know, it comes down, I think. Go ahead.
I'll tell you about Coco. That result against Merritt Island and you needing double overtime, that I did not see coming. That was a shock.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And then 3A, you know, you look at Northwestern Central. I think the winner of that will probably, you know, have a great opportunity to win. I think 4A, we're looking at a rematch. I think it's Orlando Jones and Heritage. And why not? Because they're best two teams. St. Thomas is going to, I think, just off of that game, and they have a tough schedule. They turn around after this week, and they play Columbus, they play Chaminade, they play those teams. So they're going to be in the mix. 6A is going to be interesting. I mean, you have West Boca, who will open up. We have Coach Potts on in the second hour. We'll talk to him about that. But they're going to be a favorite. Miami Southridge is going to be a favorite. I think that Armwood's going to be one of those teams to keep an eye on. Gainesville Buchholz up in your area that you have an opportunity. They're going to be a thorn as well. And then 7A, you know what? Who knows? Venice looked vulnerable against Tampa Bay Tech. But, you know, 7A isn't real, real strong statewide. And don't be surprised if that Christopher Columbus team is around, you know, at the end, because they're well coached. They may not have all the names that they used to have, but I got a chance to see them for a quarter and a half the other day, and Coach Dunn still done a tremendous job with them.
I mean, what Dave Dunn has done there at Columbus is that, you know, he has that program in tip-top shape almost every single year. Yeah. So there's never a question about what they do. I, you know, look at everything, you know, with that. When you, I'm going to go back to 6A, you know, but you said 7A for the moment, but 7A, you're right. I feel like in a lot of things there with the 7, with the 7A bracket, there's a lot of, it's fluid. Let's call 7A the most fluid classification of the classifications right now. Yeah. 6A, I would even say maybe is a bit fluid, because, you know, can West Boca Raton come back and make a repeat? That is the biggest question mark, because before last year, who was West Boca Raton? Really, no one heard of them. No one knew of them. And then they all of a sudden jumped on the scene. So, again, I would understand a lot of people like, okay, can they make that run again? Can they come back and repeat, you know? Or is this a one-off like a Flanagan was years ago, or somebody else was, you know? That's you know, I think a lot of people ask that question. But, you know, at the end of the day, you mentioned those schools. I mean, you know, 6A, you know, but here's the thing. Buchholz, you know, they only won 15-13 over Vanguard on Thursday night, but you know, they endured a 2.5 hour lightning delay. So, you know, you think weather does have a little bit of a mental impact. And I will say that, you know, got to think about the weather, but at the end of the day, a lot of those teams you mentioned in the other classifications, I expect them to be back there. The rankings say it, the numbers say it, there's a lot of different data points you could go to and say, hey, we expect these teams to be, you know, in the mix here come, you know, late November, early December, as we start to approach state championship time in Miami.
Good stuff. Hey, Josh, let everybody know how they can follow you. You got a lot of great stuff going on. You got your podcast, you got your website, you got your social media. Let everybody know how they can follow you.
Okay, X, that platform formerly known as Twitter, that is at FLAHS Football, and every other social media handle I can name: Facebook, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, YouTube, especially the YouTube channel, at FloridaHS Football. If you don't see a blue check on most of it, or you don't see it's at FloridaHS Football outside of the X Twitter handle, that is probably not the real account. You can figure it out. If you need to find me, just find me on one of the social media platforms. Send me a message or hit the website up at FloridaHSFootball.com.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, Blue. All right, you take care,
good
man.
Stuff. You too. Josh Wilson, Florida High School Football. .com. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Alabama FSU coming up this Saturday. Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat is next.
It's the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us. What a week. I mean, this is big-time week. Obviously, high school big-time last week. Again, some great games. But college football kicks it into high gear with some really entertaining games, especially within the state. We talk about Miami-Notre Dame on Sunday evening at 7:30. What about Alabama visiting FSU? Last year, FSU, not what everybody expected at 2 wins, but there's a lot of work that has been put in over the offseason. I had an opportunity to go up there a couple of times during the offseason, saw Coach Norvell when he came down to FAU for that kind of dual camp. But the Seminoles will be in action. Really don't know what to expect. So many new faces. Somebody who's been hanging around there, he knows a lot about it. Liam Rooney, he covers the FSU football program for the Tallahassee Democrat. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Liam, thanks so much for taking the time. And do you know what to expect on Sunday? I mean, we know Alabama's good, but this is a whole new FSU team.
Yeah, you mentioned the newcomers. There's 49 of them. Almost half that roster is fresh faces, either freshmen or transfers. So there's a lot to piece together when you look at the roster. And it's a new coaching staff from last year, so it's a full reset. So what to expect? Anybody who's watched college football, they know about Gus Malzahn. They know about the run. Run first, kind of set up the pass, set up the deep shot, and let Tommy Castellanos get out of the pocket and run. But there's a lot riding on this, and there's a lot of unknowns that I think really right out the gate in the first few snaps, we're going to learn a lot about this FSU team.
Yeah, well, return some people on defense. Obviously, there's a a few new faces that'll be in around the Earl Little Juniors and players like that. One of our guys from down here, Edwin Joseph, who I thought had a really good year last year. But offensively, as you mentioned, new coaching staff. Tim Harris comes along with his buddy Gus Malzahn. It looks like a brand new lineup. I mean, Tommy Castellanos comes from Boston College. Randy Pittman, who's a really, really highly recruited defensive tight end, new offensive line, some really good playmakers on the side. I see where Javon Boggs, the true freshman from Coco, making his way towards maybe starting on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, the depth chart came out today, and he is listed as a starter. And by all accounts, as long as he stays healthy, that's the full expectation. He has been him and Usman Chroma, the freshman from Lee County in Georgia, have been the names on everybody's mouth throughout the preseason. They've been just exemplary in the work that they've put in. So it's an exciting time, especially a lot of the things around Norvell is the questions about his high school recruitment and some of these guys not developing and becoming impact players for him. So if he can get two guys right out the gate that have the opportunity to come out and maybe turn a few heads against Alabama, that's big. But you mentioned that this offense is pretty much brand new. I mean, a couple guys returned, but even then, most of the guys who came back from last year were freshmen and a couple who aren't really going to contribute too much, and a backup quarterback in Brock Glenn as well. So it is truly a new team, an entirely new scheme with Malzahn and Castellanos back there is obviously a very different quarterback than what DJ Uiagalelei was last year. So it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
And you did mention, that was a big criticism. He wasn't hitting on the freshmen. I mean, those last couple of years, some of those highly recruited freshmen that were coming in as 3, 4, and 5, even 5 stars, weren't really stepping up and making, an impact. But this year, especially on offense, I mean, we talk about Javon Boggs, who I watched, and he's a really, really talented young man. But you also have guys like Squirrel White, comes from Tennessee. You have Deuce Robinson, obviously. Guys with experience that are going to help ease in a guy like Boggs or maybe Chase Lofton or players like that are newer and younger players to the team. And plus the offensive line, which is – kind of senior oriented, with transfers. I know that, guys like Adrian Medley and Luke Pettibon, guys who have had experience in the past, Randy, as we mentioned, also Micah Pettis. Talk about that, because I think that infusion of experience can help the younger players perhaps flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned Deuce Robinson, because he's been a guy that every freshman or even sophomore that returned from last year, whether offense or defense, is kind of pointed to as a guy that they are kind of modeling themselves after. And he's been taking everyone under his wing. He's been described as a pro, just the way he kind of goes about things, and comes, obviously, his father with the background there, playing at Florida State, and he kind of understands what it means to be a Seminole, and I think that's something Norvell appreciates. And then you even mentioned on the offensive line, 105 starts up there, I believe, between all of the transfers, so that's a lot of experience, and that's something in college football these days is so, so crucial. It's really been an effort from the veterans to kind of bring these guys up quickly, because in the depth chart today, 8 freshmen are in the 2 deep. Only one starts with Boggs, but the rest are all listed as second string guys. So they're going to play and they're going to see the field. And Norvell said that, by midseason, there could be even double digit numbers of freshmen potentially starting or even at that reserve role. So getting the fall, the spring, the summer with those freshmen, getting that experience with veterans and kind of seeing how they operated and went through the work in the off season is really crucial to their development. And a guy like Boggs though, and Chroma, and you've seen Boggs, some of these guys are just built a little differently. And that helps out a ton when you're trying to adjust to the next level.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, this game, huge. Then they have a couple of weeks where they could, can kind of get things going and learn, obviously, from this game. We don't even know a lot about Alabama. I'm new quarterback, right? First time he's taking snaps. They've got Yep. Three or four new players that are, you know, on the offensive line that didn't play last year. So this could be one of those games where the crowd could get into it a little bit, and maybe somebody like a Castellanos makes play, or somebody like a Darryl Jackson on the defensive side who has experience and, you know, he's a gamer, or Omar Graham, mm-hmm. who, you know, has had some starts under him. But it's going to be exciting. I really do. I think if you're an FSU fan, I think there's a lot to like. You know, I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Norvell. I think he's a great organizer. He just had to, I've never minced the words, but he had to get his friends out of there. I mean, you know what? It's nice to have mm-hmm. friends on the coaching staff, but if they don't get it done, Liam, you know, his butt's on the line, and I think he yeah. understands that. I think this is a much improved team. I think they have an opportunity to maybe to get into a bowl, maybe win six or seven games this year. You know, there's a lot of games that are winnable, but this first game is going to give them a barometer. I can't thank you enough for joining us. Let everybody know how you can follow. I mean, I know your website over at the Democrat, but also social media, because I know it's going to light up the rest of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. I am primarily on Twitter/X, and you can find me at __ Liam Rooney, LiamRooney. And then obviously Tallahassee Democrat, Tallahassee.com is where all of my work will be published.
Good stuff. Hey, we'll be hounding you plenty this year, man. Thanks so much. Have
no
a good
worries.
One. Have a great opener, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Larry.
Good stuff. Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat brings to a close hour number one. Please do not go away. We are back with some really good guests coming up.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Their experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com.
Here is Larry Bluestein.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to hour number two. As we take you up until 8 o'clock, glad you can be with us on what is going to be a very, very, very impressive week of football, weather permitting. And I do say that with bold comments. I just got a message that they canceled the Columbus Southridge game. Thursday was postponed. Saturday, we sat through three delays, got into the second quarter. Today, they got into the third quarter, and they couldn't play it. This weather is crazy, crazy. Well, let's hope it's going to be good this weekend, because on Friday, FIU and Bethune-Cookman, on Saturday at Hard Rock, the Orange Blossom Classic, Howard and Florida A&M kind of set the table for the much-anticipated Sunday night game between Miami and Notre Dame. And certainly this has been one of those games that's kind of hard to pick. You know, I mean, you know, if you're – and as I said before, if you're a Miami fan, obviously, oh, yeah, the Hurricanes are going to beat them, and you remember 5 years ago, and da, 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 da. Yeah, not so much on either side, because you have so many new faces. Two brand new defensive coordinators. Al Golden is no longer at Notre Dame, and he did a great job. I know it hurts to hear that for a lot of Miami fans, but he did. And then obviously now with Corey Heatherman at Miami, things are different. But somebody who's had that catbird seat and watched it all unfold, Gabby Urrutia from Inside the U and 247 Sports, is kind enough to join us this evening. Gabby, thanks so much. Great, always great seeing you as we do. And, you tell me. I mean, do you know what to expect? I mean, you hang around this team a lot more than anybody else. A lot of new faces. This secondary's completely revamped. We're going against the defending national runner-up at home. And, you know, you'd like to be wishful thinking and say, oh, yeah, Miami's got the edge. But do they?
Yeah, it's interesting, Larry. It's true. There's so much new. There's just so many factors to consider now with the transfer portal and how these rosters look so different year over year. You know, again, the brand new secondary, four of the five starters in the secondary, if you're including the nickel, all brand new for Miami, a new middle linebacker, a new defensive tackle, you know, two defensive ends that have been around in Ruben Bain and Messidor that haven't really played together very often because of injury or for whatever reason. There's so much new, and it's hard to know exactly what to expect. All I know, Larry, Miami has as good of a roster as they've had during the Mario Cristobal era. Like you mentioned, Notre Dame, the national runner-ups, they have an extremely impressive roster that's loaded at virtually every level of it. So I'm expecting a showdown between two really, really talented teams. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, well, the one thing we do know for sure is Miami's offensive line, and they're as good as advertised. They're probably as deep as they've probably been since the great days, and maybe even deeper in some respects. And then the running game. We don't know a lot about the receivers. I know today that they kind of, you know, pointed out that who's going to be starting, you know, at what position. And certainly Josiah Trader and C.J. Daniels will be the key guys. But what about somebody like Elijah Lofton? Does he enhance this team and give them that, you know, you got the running game. Does he kind of spark that passing game a little bit and maybe open things up for some of those younger and new receivers?
I definitely think he gives Miami just another weapon, right? We talk about the pass catchers and how much Miami lost. Elijah Lofton is not Elijah Arroyo. You know, I think it's going to be tough to get that out of the tight end position. But I think the good thing about Elijah Lofton, Larry, is that he's so versatile. He's someone that you can kind of attach to the line of scrimmage, and he can block because he's so strong. You can kind of use him in the backfield, and, you know, he gives you something there. And just all the different ways that you can use him and move him around, kind of make him like a Swiss Army knife. And they love the way the offense naturally flows through him. He's a guy that just finds a way to make plays. He attracts the ball because of his ability to get open and kind of be a mismatch with his, you know, it's really not a typical, prototypical tight end size. He's probably 6'2" generously. He's probably 240 pounds. So he's a big ball of mass, but he also moves really, really well. So he's someone that I would, if you're a Miami fan, I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch because you're going to see all the different things that Miami tries to do with him and how he can kind of just keep defenses on their toes with the way that he can beat you from multiple levels. So I know there's a lot of excitement about what Elijah Lofton can unlock in the passing game and really how he can help as a blocker in the run game or even as a ball carrier. So there's a lot that he can do.
No doubt. Defensively, okay, let's go there because that was the reason why Miami didn't make the playoffs last year or win the ACC because their defense was just not good, especially in the secondary. They've remedied that. Secondary-wise, they've gotten all like five new faces, plus hopefully, and fingers crossed, a healthier Damian Brown. You return of O.J. Frederick. The front four, I think, is really good. Everybody wants to continue to want to put Reuben Bain inside. I think he's fine where he's at. You have Akeem Mesidor, who has more snaps than anybody on the team, and he's one of those guys, as you know, is a more mature type of player who's great for the locker room and great for the younger kids. Talk about what you expect out of this defense.
I expect it to be much improved for all of the reasons that you said, Larry. You know, getting Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor back, both those guys trimmed down, leaned up to be able to kind of just be healthier, you know, just kind of, I think that kind of keeps them powerful, keeps them strong, but it also helps them as pass rushers and in all those situations. You got, you know, three really good defensive tackles between Justin Scott, who's a former five-star. You got David Blay, the big-time transfer out of Louisiana Tech, and Ahmad Moten. And then what they've done really on the back seven, going out and getting a Mohamed Torrey out of Rutgers. I mean, the program is absolutely buzzing about this kid. What he did at Rutgers in 2023 was really, really impressive. Unfortunately, tore his ACL last fall camp, is fully recovered now, transferred to Miami this spring, and he's been a leader for them on defense. So with the way that he's come into the program and brought just a big-time alpha dog type of mentality, and he's been doing awesome things for them. And then on the back end, just, you know, you mentioned O.J. Frederick out of St. Thomas. You know, you got Xavier Lucas opposite of him out of American Heritage that, you know, went to Wisconsin, transferred back over here. They're expecting huge things from him. And I think the safety room is going to be better year over year, too, with Jacoby Thomas and Zechariah Poyser. Again, these are all new names, people we haven't really seen play together. But I think the feel around the program is that these guys are ready to roll. And I'm excited to see all of them. And then even Keontae Scott, who's a veteran who played 3 years at Auburn, was also a top punt returner at Auburn. He brings something different to the nickel, too. And they think that he's going to help them a ton, whether it's covering slot receivers or even in run support. So I think Miami got older. They got better. And I think they allocated a lot of resources to fix this defense. And I think that they did a good job of doing it. I expect it to be way more talented.
Yeah, no doubt. Gabby Arudia joins us inside the U and also the 247 Network. What about, and I know it's kind of a crazy subject, but Miami's been spoiled the last 5 years with their kicking game. Now you have a Bert Auburn that comes in with a lot of ability, but inconsistent. You also have Carter Davis, who's got a strong leg on kicks. You still return Dylan Joyce as a punter. What are we thinking? If this thing comes down to a field goal with no time left, are we nervous or are we confident?
Yeah, I think maybe we're still nervous, right? Because we're not seeing this. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, the story on Bert Auburn is just how the college football playoff ended at Texas. You know, of course, moments that he would love to have back. Miami was confident in their ability to bring him into the program and start the rewiring and just reinstilling confidence in him. He's still competing with Carter Davis, like you mentioned, Larry, and we'll see what the result of that is. Miami hasn't formally announced a starting kicker, so those two are still very much working on it. So the kicking game, for the first time in quite some time after the Borgalis brothers' tenures, is going to be a question mark. I just don't – until we're in a situation like that, Larry, which I think on Sunday we'll find out, because if it's a tight game the way we expect, the kicking game's going to matter a lot. So – we'll see who Miami trots out there, and we'll see if they've kind of, if it's Bert Auburn, if how he's kind of getting back into rhythm. Because a couple years ago, he made more kicks, more field goal kicks than anyone in the country. I don't think people realize that. I think it's the 2023 season, led the nation in made field goals. So the talent is definitely there. And then Carter Davis, almost no experience opposite, but again, big legs. So there's definitely question marks there, and it's going to be a super important facet of the game that we need to really pin down and kind of have answers to. But again, we'll find out soon.
We know. And the one thing, too, is kickoffs. We have a guy in Keelan Marion has shown what he can do. He's proven at the college level. I think we had all that anticipation for Chris Johnson because he ran the 4.25 and he was fast.
Right.
But I think in Keelan Marion as a kick returner and maybe even a punt returner with Ray Joseph, you never know how they could break a game open because of the fact that they know how to read the wedge. And that's the one thing that Chris Johnson and we kind of kidded in the press box every year. He get the ball at the goal line and sprint 30 yards into somebody's back. I don't think you're going to see that with Keelan Marion because I think he knows how to read. On the overall, I'm with you. The talent's there. You know, even though we have a quarterback that hasn't taken a snap in a while, but everybody kind of knows that Carson Beck, especially with the offensive line, especially with the running game, I think is going to get eased back into it. And certainly I expect a great season ahead for Miami. This is going to be a big one. I can't say enough, and I know that you've been there every step of the way watching this unfold, and I know you're as anxious as anybody else. Let everybody know how they could follow you on your social media and also on the website, because I know this week's going to be loaded with stories.
Absolutely, yeah. You can find us at InsideTheU.com. We're the Miami site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And you can follow me on X at GabbyUrudia247. Again, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to Sunday, Larry, and I'm sure I'll see you up there in the press box and looking forward to seeing how this all plays out.
Yes, we will. Don't eat all the pulled pork, but we will we'll see you up there. By the way, you're looking great. Congratulations on being healthy, and I know your kids and your wife appreciate you more than anything. Gabby, we'll see you on Sunday.
Larry.
Thanks, man. All right,
yes,
good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yep. Gabby, you too. Gabby Arudia from Inside the U does a great job. If you follow him on his social media, he's on top of everything, and that's what you want. You want valid things. You don't want to just start reading things that when people don't know anything, they make up stuff, and it makes everybody look crazy. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts are they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we'll talk high school football. Coach Dylan Potts from West Boca Raton and wide receiver Jamar Denson from American Heritage Plantation.
Welcome back to the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Glad you could be with us on 104.3 FM on your radio dial, as well as 560 WQAM. And as I said, we'll have that brand new rejoin next week. We're going to be with you next Wednesday. We'll take the Monday off, kind of recuperate from the weekend. We won't up until basketball season, though. That'll be the norm Mondays. But I figured, you know, what the heck, let everybody, you know, watch. There's a game next Monday night on as well. So there's a lot of things going on in football. As I said, huge weekend in high school last weekend, a huge college weekend this week as well. And one of the teams that are breaking out of the gate for the first time in 2025 as the defending 6A state champion are the West Boca Raton Bulls as they won the school's first ever state title last year, beating Kissimmee Osceola. And what a huge surprise, and what a bit pleasant surprise for this program, which really wasn't built overnight. Over the last couple of years, Coach Dylan Potts and his staff have assembled quite a program. They're deep. They don't get it done by accident. They travel a lot. They're everywhere during the summer. The kids are individually getting better as well. And they will open up on Thursday evening at home against Palm Beach Central, which lost last week. We welcome in Coach Dylan Potts from West Boca Raton. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And the day is finally here that you hit the field for real on Thursday evening at home in front of, I'm sure it's going to be a packed house.
Absolutely. You know, thank you as always, you know, having us on and getting a chance to talk a little bit about our program and, you know, some of the things that we have going on within our program.
Yeah, and I was there for your kickoff classic against Chaminade, and it was great, and the atmosphere is tremendous, and it's first class, and a lot, you know, everybody gets involved, your administration, your students, your players, everybody involved. But this week is something special because this is when it counts for real. You're out to get back to that state title game again, and your first game is against Palm Beach Central, that team that is good and has a lot of talent, but they're coming off a loss. Are you a little bit surprised that they got beat, or is a team like Pahokee a type of team that could beat you?
Well, I mean, I think Pahokee is, as you know, always those Pahokee, Glade Central, those teams are always going to be tough to play, no matter if they have the talent like they used in the 90s or not. Those kids, you know, Pahokee, I thought, did a really good job of, you know, they got a really good system offensively and defensively, and those kids play hard. And, you know, Palm Beach Central has a really good team as well, too. So, you know, we're just looking forward to getting out there on Thursday. And, you know, even though it was a kickoff classic, you know, it was a loss for us. That's what we took against Chaminade, and we've been itching to get back out there ever since.
Yeah. And you have the talent. I mean, obviously you built this thing up front, a lot of really, really good offensive linemen, quarterback situation, somebody who returned from last year and a newcomer. But the one thing that is constant is your running back, Javion Mallory, a University of Miami commit, one of the best in the country, and getting an opportunity to have him to add balance to that passing game. Talk about that and what type of player he is and what Miami's getting in somebody like that.
Well, I think he's, you know, to me, selfishly, I'm going to say, I think he's the best back in the country. I mean, I think just you got a glimpse of that's a first game back and, you know, basically after a year off. I mean, he's just a game changer. Whenever he's on the field, I mean, he makes every call the right call, no matter what. It's honestly, it's just one of those things. How can you get him the ball? And he's got a good other, you know, three class of 27 backs that complement him very well, too. And then, you know, obviously the line up front, you know, we have four seniors. A lot of these kids have been starting now for multiple years, so you have the depth and the experience up front, where, as you know, you saw us from year one back in sure. You know, 2022, it's, you know, we were starting 7-8 freshmen. Well, all those kids are seniors now, so you kind of have that experience and that depth, you know, where these kids have played a lot of games and played in a lot of big games under their belt now.
Yeah. How do you create a culture where there really wasn't a culture before? I mean, this is a program that, you know, I talked to Miles Russ, the head coach at Kaiser University, who before Mallory came along, was probably the all-time leading rusher at the school. You know, we talk about developing a culture. How do you develop a culture in football where there really wasn't a lot of that before?
Well, I mean, I think it always starts with the kids. We got, you know, when Javian and Malik Joseph and Zach Walls and all these Amari Ford and these kids that came in that initial year one when they were eighth graders coming in as ninth graders, now they've just bought in from day one. And honestly, I know it's cliche as it sounds, we've just worked. We've tried to have that, you know, what we do offensively and defensively, you know, we're going to run the football and play defense. And we kind of take that blue collar approach to it. We're just going to outwork everyone. And that's always been the mindset of just being the hardest working team, not only in South Florida, but, you know, our goal is to be the hardest working team in the country. And if we do that, we'll have a chance to be, you know, be sitting here in December with our second one.
Right. And having the week off in week one after the Chaminade kickoff classic, was that beneficial? Do you think that at least you gave your kids an opportunity to say, hey, listen, this is what we didn't do right. This is what we did do right. And we got the game next Thursday against Palm Beach Central, and let's get back to work. Was that one of those weeks that, you know, if you were going to have a week off, the first week of the season may have been a good time to do it?
Well, it's not, you know, I don't think, you know, having a week one bye was a little bit of an interesting, you know, thing this year. It just happened to be in order for us to pick up Cardinal Newman on the schedule, we had to create a week one bye. So, it was a weird thing having that week one bye, but I think our kids did a really good job in the bye week. Like, we practiced really, really hard last week, and our kids are hungry. And I think it's, you know, like anything, you know, they kind of had a chance. They're hungry after that, you know, game against Chaminade. You know, we felt like we played decent against them, but, you know, we had four turnovers, and we've been itching to get back out there ever since.
Yeah. Dylan Potts joins us. He's the head coach at West Boca Raton. And I kind of casually, kind of passed over before, but your administration, and you know as well as I do, having been around before, that if you don't have cooperation and you don't have a supportive administration, it's really tough. But you're not like that. I know. I see your principal. I see your APs. I see your AD. Everybody's out in force during your games. Talk about that, because that's one or two or three less things that you have to worry about in preparation for a game.
Absolutely. I mean, you've been doing it long enough. You have to have that support to be successful. And those, you know, our principal, all of our assistant principals, our athletic directors, our assistant. I mean, we really do have a community here that really, you know, gives us everything we need to be successful. So we just feel like we just need to go in, you know, and compete to our level that we expect to at the standard. And, you know, with that support, we know we can do everything we need to here.
Yeah, no doubt. Schedule-wise, we talked about it. Palm Beach Central this week, and then a really big game at home against Bergen Catholic in New Jersey. I know that you wanted to kind of like add some of that firepower to your schedule. As you mentioned, you had Cardinal Newman. You have Atlantic again. You play the team Western, which is, obviously in a rebuild. Talk about that. I mean, you got Royal Palm. I mean, Palm Beach Central, and I know that's foremost on your mind right now, but that Bergen Catholic game's got to be something that could put you on the national map a little bit.
Well, that was the goal this year. You know, I think as we're continuing to develop this program and grow this culture, it's like, how do we take the next step as a program? And we want to get on that national stage this year. And in order to do that, you're going to have to play some of those national level teams like that. And that's just, and that was the whole, you know, wanting to prove that we're one of the best teams in the country. So we need to go out there and play some of the best teams in the country. And at the end of the day, you know, everything is about getting ready for the playoffs. So we feel like any matchup that's going to get us, you know, be beneficial to get us prepped and ready to go once it rolls into November and December, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good for us.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about some of the players that you're looking forward to having big years for you. I know the kid Jamar Tompkins, the junior defensive lineman, is one of those guys that everybody's looking at. Who are some of the guys? I know the kid Clancy is one of the kids that I like a lot. This kid is like, you know, he's one of those guys that gets open. He's got sure-handed. Talk about some of those guys that maybe don't get the publicity that deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, starting on the offensive side right there, you know, class of 27 wide receiver Billy Clancy just shows up and makes plays. I always say he's our J-Rock up here. You know, like I said, he's always in big time games, always making plays. And, you know, he's just going going to continue to really, you know, build off what he did last year. You know, had over 500 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns last year, and he's really looking to take the next step. Defensively, you know, another 227 kid that I think Larry Morgan, that played corner, did a really, really good job last week against Chaminade. And another young kid, Carlton Jackson, you know, stepped in and is playing defense, you know, our class of 28 kid playing defense at a high level. And then obviously Max Reed at linebacker. I mean, he led our team in tackles last year, and he's just continuing to really, really cement himself as one of the best linebackers, I think, in the area.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach. I thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. You know, I'm going to try to – I think that I'm going to target a game or two to come back up. You know, I don't let you down. I try to get to a few games up there, you know, as well. I mean, I know that that Bergen Catholic game could be a really, really good game as well. Best of luck this week. Do you guys get – did you get your rings already, or is there a ceremony this week?
No, that was a we got that over a while ago. You know, like I said, the mindset with the kids has been, hey, last year's last year. You know, we're 0-0, and you know, it doesn't matter what we did last year. It's just everything focused forward, getting that second one.
Good stuff, Coach. I can't thank you enough. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely, thank you very much for having me.
Good stuff. West Boca Raton head coach Dylan Potts, as they are the defending 6A state champions, and will kick their season off this week at home on Thursday against Palm Beach Central. Good team. Lost last week. Last week was just a phenomenal week here in South Florida. I mean, we were on national television. We had some really good games. Everybody wants to jump into the negativity and say we lost this game or that. I don't look at it. I do not look at it at all. All I know is we had some of the top teams in the country that came down to play our top teams. One of the best games, without hesitation, was on ESPN2 on Friday evening. And I will tell you, everybody across the country was treated to one of those storybook games. American Heritage Plantation, defending 4A state champions, down 28-0. To St. Joseph Academy of Philadelphia, rallied to win the game 31-28. There were a lot of stars in that game, Jonathan Bueno, Dia Bell. But the guy who came out on top at the end was somebody that now this country knows a lot about. He's a wide receiver. He's a senior. He's headed to Troy. I don't know if that's a temporary thing or not, especially after watching him the other night. But we welcome in senior Jamar Denson. Jamar, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on what I think is going to be a memorable start to this senior year for you. Do you kind of like sit back and look back at it and say, wow, you know, it's hard to believe you guys were a part of that, but what a great game, huh?
Yeah, thank you for having me. You know, it was a great game. We were down 28-0, but at halftime, Coach Mike and us, we made some adjustments. And, you know, at the end of the end, we came out on top. We kept fighting, and we overcame adversity.
But think about that adversity. You went into the game, and a guy who helps you out a lot, Brandon Bennett, was hurt the week before. And obviously, you know, he's a guy, he's going to FSU, he's getting a lot of attention. But that's great for you because a lot of people are going to kind of – try to double team him and leave you alone. Now, this past week, you were the guy. I mean, you were the guy who everybody was paying attention to, and you came through and you had, 14 catches, and just took over the game. Did you ever believe on Thursday night when you were going to bed, getting ready to look at Friday's game, that scenario would ever come? Because you knew you have the ability, but did you think that it would come down to you making these big catches and big situations? Did that ever cross your mind?
No, not really. But, you know, I just kept my faith in God, and he allowed me to step up and make big-time plays in the big-time game.
Yeah, and I mean, in this team, you know, as a defending state champion, obviously, you lost some players – from last year, key running game, certainly some linemen and such. But you bring back a weapon like Diabel, somebody that you and him have been playing together forever, and he knows you, you know him. At halftime, did he say anything to you? Did you guys talk? Or was this just one of these things, hey, listen, you know what, we're not playing well. If we play well, we're going to be right back in this game. Or did you guys get together and say, hey, listen, you know, we're a lot better than this. Let's put it in the gear a little bit.
Yeah, we all got together. It was me, Dia, and Jafar. We all got together with the offensive and the offensive line. You know, we told each other, like, we're better than this. This isn't us. Because 28-0, that's not like heritage football. So, you know, we got together and we came up with a game plan, and we stuck to the game plan, and we came out on top.
Right. And you talk about Coach Mike Smith, and he's a great guy. I mean, you know, he's a hard worker. He's somebody who's kind of like, he doesn't get too excited. He doesn't get too low. But I've seen him last year after St. Thomas get pretty excited. And obviously the other night I was kind of one of those games, because, you know, let's face it, you're on national TV. You don't get a chance to do that very often, and you're getting the country to see. And a lot of guys, and I'm sure a lot of people that I know, have turned away from the game when it was 28-0. And then all of a sudden they're hearing from their friends, hey, wait a minute, they're back in the game. They're back in the game. When did you realize that, you go, you know what, we're going to win this thing? I mean, because when you're 28-0, you could say that, and you know, Jamar, that you go, oh, we're going to be back and we're going to do this. But until you actually get within 28-21, when was that point where you said, hey, wait a minute, you know what, our defense is playing well. I think right now they're wearing down. We're playing well. Was there a point? Was it at 28-21? Was it before that?
Yeah. To be honest, it was before that. It was when Jonathan Bueno scored the first touchdown and made it 28-7. That's when I knew, like, we could come back and win this, because it gave our defense some momentum. Then they got a stop. Then we went back and scored again. Then they got another stop, and when we went back and scored again, then they got a stop, and we went back and scored again. And then our field goal kicker, Cade Bailey, he kicked it, and then went in.
Wow. I bet you when school started today, this is the first day of school too, right? I mean, this was kind of like a storybook type of thing. Let's talk about you a little bit. I mean, you've been playing this for a long time. I've been watching you since you started, before youth football and all that. You've always been that guy. You know, you've just needed a spotlight time. Talk about yourself, what you need to do before the season ends and you go to college to get better at. What do you need to work on, you think, most in your game?
I'll probably say I need to work on my yards after catch, but it's getting a little better, as you guys seen on the TV on Friday night.
How much have you watched that game? Did you watch any of it back over on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I actually watched the whole thing from the two. It was a two-hour video on YouTube. I watched the whole game.
Yeah, then that's got to make you feel pretty darn good. I said Troy, and I know you're committed to them. Could that change, or are you really cemented to that?
I mean, you know, Troy, they showed a lot of love to me. They show a lot of love to me, and I feel very comfortable with the position I'm in with them. So, you know, if God gives me the ability to go somewhere else and gives me the chance to go somewhere else, and it's a better opportunity for me, then I got to pray on it. But as of right now, I'm locked in with Troy.
Yeah. Talk about this team. This is a great team. And obviously these guys have been together, and you endured a lot of, you know, downtime. Now you're back up. Your schedule is crazy. I mean, you know, I told Coach Smith, I said, whoever made this schedule needs to go see a psychiatrist, because you guys have no let up. No let up whatsoever. Your district is really good. People don't realize that all four teams in your district last year made the state playoffs. A much improved Plantation team, a much improved Archbishop McCarthy team. You know, Norlin always has the talent. talk about the schedule, because you got Chaminade coming up. You've got St. Thomas. You've got a gauntlet. Are you guys relishing that? Does that make you better? Does that type of schedule, would you much rather play that schedule than play a bunch of teams with losing records?
Yeah, because I feel like we should play a schedule with a lot of great teams, go to great programs, because it makes us tougher in the end. And, you know, it shows us, like, how to overcome adversity if we come down like we did on Friday night from 28-0. It shows us as young men to keep our head in the game and never quit and don't back down.
No doubt. Jamar, I can't thank you enough for joining us, man. I'm thrilled for you. I really am. This is about time that people got a chance to see what you really can do, and the spotlight shine really brightly over the weekend for you on Friday night, and certainly everybody knows who Jamar Denson is right now. And I'm looking forward to seeing you over the next couple of weeks and some of the big games. Again, thanks so much for taking the time on this Monday evening, and the best of luck coming up.
Thank you, Larry.
Good stuff. Jamar Denson, Plantation is American Heritage, a wide receiver. This, I'm telling you, he's special. And it, isn't it crazy where it has to take you something like being on national TV and coming from behind 28-0 to understand how good this young man is? He is. And I think the rest of the year he's going to get that respect. And I understand. You know, that's great that Troy gave him an opportunity and showed enough of him. But like he said, if there's a way that he can help himself and help his family by making another decision, I'm sure he'll do it. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday. Don't go away.
It's the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Back to wrap things up with you. It has been a really good Monday evening. If you miss anything that we have, go to WQAM.com. Top of the page where it says podcast, you'll be able to hear Executive Director Kendra Bullock from the Orange Bowl Awesome Classic. Also, Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football joined us. Liam Rooney, beat reporter for the FSU football program from the Tallahassee Democrat. We talked the University of Miami Hurricanes with Inside the U's Gabby Rudia. Also talked to head coach Dylan Potts of West Boca Raton. Defending champions will be in action this Thursday. And we'll also touch base with Jamar Denson, the senior wide receiver from American Heritage Plantation. That's going to do it for this Monday. Have a great Labor Day. Have a great football weekend. We will see you next Wednesday from 6 to 8. Thanks so much, Trevor Harris. We will see you next Wednesday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.